Okay, we'll go ahead and dismiss children for Children's Church. So all those who are 4 years old up through second grade that would like to go can head to room 107 at this time. That last song we sang was a beautiful lead-in to the subject matter of what we'll be covering in today's sermon. It was it's certainly a declaration, I need thee, oh, I need thee, Lord. It's a confession. But it's also a beautiful song prayer, if you will, acknowledgement to the Lord and asking for him to guide us, lead us, be with us. And we're going to be talking today as we conclude the messages on prayer that we've been looking at this month about personal requests. And we've talked some about that intermittent throughout, but today we're going to come and ask the scriptures the question, are there wrong ways, are there correct ways, and are there helps and enablements that we can have to bring our requests as we walk through life, that we can bring these requests before the Lord? And I hope that you'll find this morning the message and the scriptures that we look at, not just a blessing, but applicable to your life as we journey through and grow in this thing called prayer, this great privilege that we have. I'll start off maybe with a little bit of a story here, an experience of my own growing up. When I was a child, from time to time, my dad would take the family to a Chicago Cubs game up at Wrigley Field. Now, I know not all of you are Cubs fans, so maybe you can insert your own favorite baseball team here for a moment, but it's a child's dream, if you will, when they go to a baseball game, to not just maybe take in the sights and the sounds and the food and the peanuts and the hot dogs, but to come home with that coveted baseball, to leave not empty-handed, but to take a baseball home after having experienced a baseball game. And I can tell you that to this day, I've been skunked on coming home with baseballs. I've never caught a foul ball. I've never caught a home run ball. I've never walked home with one. But, you know, especially as a child, there's other ways to maybe get a baseball from a game. Not just catching something off of the bat while it's in play, but if you can find a worker of the teams or the stadium, you could go and ask them for a ball. So there's often a ball girl or a ball boy that would catch balls off of the field and keep them in a bucket. And I remember from time to time, my dad repeatedly saying, you know, you could go and ask them for a baseball. Well, as a 7, 8, 9-year-old, I guess I was too shy or feared walking down in front of everybody or maybe feared being told no or that they were out of balls. I never did ask for a baseball. What that meant was I never did get a baseball. I always went home without one. So I think about that example and just a little illustration in my life, my younger years. It reminds me of James chapter 4, verse 2, where this verse in Scripture tells us, you have not because you ask not. And I'm in no way trying to parallel our coming to the Lord and asking with a baseball. He doesn't care about those kinds of things so much. But what I am trying to point out is the fact that we are invited by a holy God, the privilege of God in heaven who welcomes us into his presence, that we have the attention of a God who instructs us to say, you have not because you ask not. We want that verse to kind of be a keystone verse to lead us into this idea today of what does it mean to bring our personal requests to the Lord? Is there a wrong way to do that? Is there a right, instructive way to do that? Are there helps for me when I don't know what to pray and how to pray? Or am I just on my own to just figure it all out before the Lord? So we're concluding, as I mentioned, our series that we've been looking at this month on prayer. You know, it's been good to consider how many aspects there are of prayer. We're leaving the personal request to the end, and this is not to say that we always have to bring our personal requests last, but it's so very easy for us, I think, to let prayer often decline into nothing but a shopping list before the Lord. And so it's been good for us over these last few weeks to consider different aspects of prayer, that prayer is visiting with our Heavenly Father. Even Jesus, as he was instructing on prayer, was sure to put at the beginning when we pray, "Our Father who is in heaven." Let us never forget that. Let that weigh heavy on us as we enter into the presence of God in prayer, that this is a fatherly care that we are receiving as we enter in, visiting in prayer. There's also this idea of molding or aligning our will to His. It's taking up God's concerns and God's cares when we pray. God does not operate in a man-centered universe. This isn't what I want, what I desire, and God's will bends to mine, but rather our wills bend to the Lord. We want to learn what it means to mold and align our prayers with God's cares and concerns. And then last week, we took a look at this idea of interceding. What does it mean and what does it look like to pray on behalf of others and to intercede for them? And what a great privilege that is, not just for us to be able to carry someone's prayer request and burden before the Lord, but the encouragement and the strength that others receive, knowing that there is a church body or a Christian friend bringing their request, pleading before the Lord on their behalf as well. So we consider this idea of interceding. Now it's good for us today, though, as we take up this idea of our own requests, personal requests. It's good for us to consider if we are in danger of reducing prayer only to requests. There is certainly that danger to allow our prayers to become self-centered. We tend that way. We trend that way. And so we're considering today this danger. Is my prayer life meeting all of these different aspects, or has it declined into personal request? Prayer, we come to realize, it's not just an exercise or a technique to get things from God. Prayer is a means to know God better. It's a means to know our Heavenly Father better and the one who invites us to ask for things. This quote by Paul Miller in his book, Prayer is a Way of Life, says this: many people struggle in prayer because they are focusing on praying and not on God. That's an interesting little thought, isn't it? Often we might struggle in prayer because we're focusing on the act of this thing, praying itself, when we should just be focusing on God and having a conversation with our Heavenly Father. I've titled this morning's message, "Prayer is Making Your Requests Known to God." Prayer is a lot of things. There's many different aspects. There's many different spokes on the wheel of prayer, if you will. But today, we're specifically looking at this part of prayer that is making your requests known to God, bringing them to the Lord. At the outset of our study, I want to begin this morning by looking at what prayer is not. These are things that should not be present when we pray. You know, Jesus often did this in teaching. He would use a negative example. So you remember the words of Jesus when he would say, "Don't be like the Pharisees when you do this. Don't be like the scribes when you do this. Don't be like so-and-so when you do this." And so we're going to begin this morning by looking at an example of what Jesus said praying should not look like. So we begin this morning with avoidances of personal prayer. As we make our requests known to God, what should we be avoiding? Are there elements that should not be there? And so let's take a look, first of all, at Luke chapter 18, where we have an example of a way not to pray. This should be something avoided. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, says this, and Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. So right away, we're given the setting of what Jesus is about to say. The setting of this teaching is that some people trust in their own deeds and their own abilities. They offer these things up to God in an attempt for Him to accept them. And Jesus is saying that's not the way that we get to God. We get to God by His grace alone. And we come to God by His love through the sacrifice of His Son. But Jesus is saying here, this parable He tells is to combat the idea and to discredit those who are trying to offer up their own deeds, their own works, their own goodness, and in doing so, look down on others with contempt. So follow along here now as we go to verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. So the location now of this prayer is Jerusalem. It's the temple there in Jerusalem. The time would have been probably one of the regular calls to prayer. People would go to the temple multiple times a day, maybe a morning and an afternoon prayer. Maybe this is the afternoon time where they would go to the temple to pray. And one of the participants here is a seasoned religious attendee. Two of them go up to pray. One of them is a Pharisee. He's a seasoned religious person, a seasoned attendee of these types of prayer meetings. The other one, not so much. The other one, in fact, would have been very out of place in the temple. He's simply referred to as a tax collector. Oh, the dreaded tax collectors in the biblical days. Someone who would gouge people and try to fill their pockets with all of the profits that they could make above and beyond what was actually required by Rome in taxes. The people disdained. They disliked very much these tax collectors. But here you have Jesus setting up this parable, two people going up into the location of prayer, doing a very religious thing, right? Doing a very spiritual task. They're going into the temple to pray. And yet what Jesus is going to say is one of them is doing it rightly. One of them is doing it incorrectly. It's not just enough to pray. We should be looking to pray correctly, praying in line with the way that God has commanded that we communicate with him. So we read on in verse 11. Now we're going to see how the Pharisee prayed. In verse 11, the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector standing right over there. Here's the Pharisee. He takes his proud, prominent stand for everyone to see him. We learned of this just a couple of weeks ago, that when Jesus was teaching about those that would stand on the corner or stand in places of prominence, they would want to be isolated by themselves so all eyeballs could be on them. They would take their stand and they would begin to pray outwardly, outspokenly, so that others could hear. And that was the prayer that he offered up. He launches into more of a speech than a prayer. There's nothing really here of asking of the Lord. He's just declaring to God how good he is. He's proud of all that he doesn't do, and he's proud of all that he participates in. There is the picture of one who's praying. Then we look on in verse 12 as he talks a little bit longer. He said, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all of that I get. But in contrast, verse 13, this tax collector, this despised one by society, this crooked extortioner, the tax collector standing far off, wanting not to be seen by anyone, probably feeling not even that he belongs there. He would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee's prayer was all declaration. It had zero dependence. It was zero asking, zero request. But the sinner, this tax collector, his posture is broken. His eyes are cast down. He's standing off by himself, feeling maybe that it doesn't even belong there. And he's beating his chest, and he's asking God for mercy. Lord, would you be merciful to me? He's earnestly asking God for mercy. His prayer is heard. His prayer is received, as we see the rest of this passage here. This tax collector in verse 13, that's the way he prayed. In verse 14, Jesus wraps up this parable and he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. This man went down with his prayer answered, not the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Here we learn that while praying, one of the avoidances that we must have when we enter into the presence of Holy God is that we leave away pride and self-promotion. Those things are to be avoided. Now, I've put a list of these up in front of you here. I want to run through these. I'll read the passages to you. Scripture says much about prayer. It says much about prayer in ways that things should be avoided. It says much about instructions. What I'm doing this morning is going to take just maybe some corner pieces of passages we'll look at, and then we'll fill in the rest of it as we can get a clearer picture of the entire teaching of Scripture on this matter. But here we have in front of us these personal requests, things that are to be avoided. You can certainly study these out in more detail on your own as the references are listed there. But we looked at Luke chapter 18. We are to avoid pride in our prayers. We're to avoid coming and somehow standing before the Lord on our own, offering up to Him things that we do, that we don't do, that He will somehow accept us in this way. We're to avoid pride. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so in our prayers, especially as we're bringing personal requests before the Lord, we avoid pride. There's another text in the New Testament, James chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, where we are to avoid doubt. Scriptures say, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because that prayer is offered up in doubt. If you doubt that your request is in line with God, or you doubt that God is able to answer it, then don't expect to receive any of the answers to that prayer. If it's out of line with God's will, if you're praying things like make me rich or make me popular or make me powerful, these things are out of line with the Lord's will. And so to pray for those selfish matters, to heap those things only on ourselves, we are to avoid doubt as we pray, letting our prayers be in line with God and His will. There's another one here, avoid sinful wishes. This is Psalm 66:18 that says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. This verse has to do with aiming and asking for things that God would not approve of. You know, would we aim with the request that God would get revenge on someone, or that we could get revenge on someone, or that God would make them ill or do harm to someone? These would be out of line. If I am building up these things, if I am cherishing the iniquity, this off aim in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And so we can't have sinful wishes when we bring requests to the Lord. Also wandering. Jeremiah chapter 14, this is a very sobering couple of verses I want to read to you here, but this is the wandering of Israel, leaving the Lord, leaving His commandments, leaving obedience. And he tells Jeremiah, don't pray for them any longer. I'm not going to answer that request. Jeremiah 14, thus says the Lord concerning this people, they've loved to wander. They've not restrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. Now He will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. So the Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. Though they fast, I'll not hear their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offering, I will not accept them. I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. As we pray, we must think, our prayers cannot just be given lip service, but also life service. So to avoid wandering, avoiding callousness, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. God's people can't expect to be all and only receivers of God's mercy and His grace. Must also be willing to extend it. And then one final one here, as we're thinking about personal requests and what to avoid, avoid selfish motives. Selfish motives. James chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Our request must be accompanied by the quality of goodness and wholesomeness and righteousness. It's not enough just to pray. We saw that in the two people that Jesus said went up to the temple to pray. Only one came down with their request answered. It's not enough just to pray. We want true and good and pleasing prayer. In order to do this, we must be void of fleshly desires and fleshly and sinful requests. Let's move on, though, now to look at not just the avoidances of prayer. What does Scripture now instruct us on ways to pray? How do we bring personal requests before the Lord? We've come to this instruction part. What are our prayers to include as we ask of the Lord our requests? Here's instructions. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4 here for this passage. Again, this will be similar to the last point. We'll take kind of a cornerstone passage here, a corner piece, if you will, and then fill it in with some of the other instructions that Scripture gives related to this very point. But here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, a very, very clear invitation, a very clear assurance that we can bring our request to the Lord. Look with me at Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is swinging the door wide open, brothers and sisters, to bring our prayers before the throne of God. What a wonderful encouragement. What an amazing invitation to bring our request to God. Among other things, this is an antidote to anxiety here in verse 6. Whether it is in your life that is causing anxiety or anxiousness, we take these matters to God. We ask Him to intervene. We ask the Lord to work in the situation. Whatever is troubling you, whatever is occupying your mind that would be bothersome, bring those matters to God. And it says, whatever this might be, would these be financial matters? Wondering where the next paycheck or meal or rent payment is going to come from? Would these be relational matters of someone in your family or your friend group or at your place of work? Would this be thinking about the future and what the path lies ahead in your life? Whatever these might be, we are to bring these requests to the Lord, and it is an antidote for our anxiety of worrying about bothersome things. I like how one commentator put it when he was writing on this verse. He said, the way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. So we make known our troubles. We make known our worries. We make known our requests to God, not because He's unaware. We don't bring these things before Him and He sits back and says, oh, I didn't know that that was a struggle for you. I didn't know that was bothersome to you. We don't do it because of that, but we do it because we demonstrate our dependence on God when we bring our prayers to Him. This is a leaning in dependence upon the Lord. We are assured that having talked to God, He knows our heart and our desires. This is for our benefit, brothers and sisters. He welcomes these things so that we grow in our dependence and we grow in our assurance that the Lord is a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God and He cares for us. What does this do? When we're invited to bring our request, what does it do? We read on in verse 7. Let's look at the beautiful blessings of what happens when we bring our personal request to the Lord. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As we unburden our souls, as we bring our request to the Lord, it guards our heart and minds with peace. Casting all our cares on Him reassures us that He cares for us. So we have this wonderful invitation from God in Scripture to make our requests known to Him. We have God's attention to speak with Him about whatever it is that troubles us. And now we look at some further instruction about this point as well. and we take these additional instructions coming from these passages of Scripture. The first one we look at is in James chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, that not only are we invited to ask, but we must come in faith. As we ask the Lord, as we bring our request to Him, we ask these things trusting with faith. It's not a blind faith. It's a confidence in the one to whom we pray. It is a full, gripped trust in God Himself. James 1, 6, and 7 says this, "Let him ask in faith with no doubting. The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord." We looked at this verse a few moments ago with things to avoid, but there's also instruction for us in these verses of things to include. That is that we ask with faith. We are to ask with full assurance that God is able to grant our request. But it must be according to His will. This is the next point, that we ask not just in faith, but we ask things according to God's will. And just a note here, 1 John 1:14 should read 1 John 5:14. I've got a little typo there. It's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 that says this, "This is the confidence that we have towards Him if we ask anything according to His will. He hears us." You know, at this point, can I just get very practical for a moment? And maybe even just consider this question, what can we do if we realize that we are asking the Lord something that we ourselves don't trust that He'll do? Have you ever been caught with a sidebar conversation that you're having in your own mind as you're praying to the Lord and you're asking for something? Have you ever just been caught of yourself to just say, am I even truly believing what I'm saying? Am I really trusting the Lord even as I'm praying to Him and asking Him to do something here, to move on behalf of this request? Well, what can we do? If you get caught in a situation like that where you're finding your prayers to be faithless, or you're beginning to doubt even the request that you're bringing, what can we do? Here's just a suggestion or two of what to do in a situation like that. You can always stop and just talk to God about your situation in that moment. Talk to Him about your lack of trust. Say, "Lord, I'm bringing this request to You. I'm not even trusting, or I'm not even having the faith to think that You might do something. Would You help me in this moment? Would You increase my faith, Lord?" There was even a situation in the New Testament where someone said that very phrase to Jesus, "I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me grow in my trust of You." You could ask the Lord to assure you of your request. "Lord, is this in line with Your will? Would You help me put strength into my request as I ask You?" Then to ask the Lord even to take away this desire if it's something not in line with His will. "Lord, would You take this request away from me if this isn't something that I should be bringing, or if I can't bring it in full faith?" So there's ways to even pray while you're praying. There's ways to even pray for your prayers. Just stop and have a conversation with the Lord and be honest and open and truthful and transparent with Him. "Lord, help me in my trust. Help me even in my unbelief. Would You put strength into this prayer?" We might also inquire about God's delays or His denials. Why would the Lord delay in answering a certain request that I bring to Him? Might it be to increase our patience and our dependence, that we might have to come back again and again to the Lord and grow in our patience and grow in our dependence upon Him? Why might the Lord deny some of our prayers? Could it be that at times we bring prayers with doubt, we bring prayers with unbelief, and so we can expect no answers to those prayers? Or certainly the Lord would never deny something that would contribute to our growth in the Christian walk, and so if a prayer of ours is denied, We can be assured that we did not need the answer to that prayer in order to grow, that the Lord is infinitely more wise in the granting of our prayers than we are in the requesting of things from Him. We go a little bit further in these instructions. We are to ask repeatedly. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the context of this is a woman who's coming before a judge, and she's asking him requests, and she continues to bring it and continues to bring it. And in Luke 18, 1, Jesus said, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart, to not give up. I've had many Christians tell me over the years they've prayed, probably specifically for a family member or a friend, they've prayed for them for decades. I read of one Christian prayer warrior who prayed for a friend for 55 years that he would come to know the Lord. That is taking up Luke 18, 1, that we should bring this before the Lord and never lose heart. Earnestly pray, earnestly bring our requests, earnestly have confidence in God and His power and His ability to answer. And then finally, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. John 14, 13 to 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And just to be sure, this is more than just a tagline at the end of prayers. It's more than just saying as we wrap up a request before the Lord, in Jesus' name we pray these things, amen. It means praying in line with the person, with the work, and the will of Jesus. That is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Finally, I want us to just take in something at the end here as we consider the avoidances of personal prayer, these requests that we bring before the Lord, also instructions. Lord, fill in the pieces of what it looks like for me to come and to be invited and to bring my prayer request before you. What does that look like? Finally, we need a reminder here, brothers and sisters. We need a reminder at the end of all of this that we never pray alone. This is a game changer for our prayers. We need to be reminded that when we go to God in prayer, it's not like we're walking out on a plank of the ship all by ourselves, isolated, that we are going this on our own. We never pray alone. We pray in the standing of Jesus Christ, and we pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. It is God, very truly God, helping us even in our ability to talk to Him. Prayer is talking to God, even with the help of God. So we go to the Lord, not on our own. We go with the standing of Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit. Here's our reminders as we close this morning. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16 is in the context of speaking of Jesus as our high priest. And the verse says, let us then draw with confidence near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great high priest in Jesus Christ. He stands between sinful man and holy God, and because of his position as mediator, we are able to approach God. We don't go to God in heaven alone. This throne is the heavenly throne with God Himself occupying the seat. Christians are able to approach God without shame, without fear. This is what it means to come boldly, without fear and shame, to come boldly because and only because of Christ who stands with us and brings us into that presence of God. Hebrews chapter 10 elaborates a little bit more, and here's where we see that Jesus covers our standing as the Holy Spirit also covers our requests. But Jesus, first of all, here in Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. when we pray, when we bring our requests before God, Christ is with us. Christ makes the interaction possible. Christ makes the requests heard. Christ makes our placement sure and secure, that we have the attention of Almighty God. That is Christ who stands with us. And there's more. The Holy Spirit also helps us in our requests. The Holy Spirit helps us. Listen to these words of Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Brothers and sisters, this really is an amazing truth. The Holy Spirit of God helps us with our requests. He helps us with prayer. He makes prayers on our behalf. He appeals on our behalf. He petitions for us. Whether we get things wrong or we don't know what to ask for, we have help. As we stumble in our prayers, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. So here it is. We pray to God with the power of God. We pray to God in the standing of Christ with the help of the Spirit. How great is this thing called prayer, that we have the very attention of God when we pray, and we have the very invitation of God to bring our requests to Him. This is the privilege and the blessing of prayer. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters. I close with this story that I hope will be a blessing to you, and to really give the essence of what it means to pray and to have God when we pray. Many of you might be familiar with the ministry of Johnny Erickson Tada. It's a Christian woman who's been involved in various ministries for over 50 years. Something unique about this woman is that at the age of 17, she was swimming and dove off of a dock into what she didn't know was shallow water, and she hit her head, the bottom there, and broke her back, severed her spine, and from the age of 17 on, even to this day, she has lost complete use of her arms and legs. And as you can imagine, she's probably thought a lot more about prayers and requests, bringing them before the Lord than you or I have. You would maybe venture to guess that tens of thousands of times in her life, she has brought before the Lord a request to heal her, to allow her to walk again, to allow her arms to have use again. But I heard her make this statement one time when she was talking about praying and bringing her requests before the Lord. She said this. She said, "I have come to realize in my life that God has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me." Should I have come to realize in my life that this request that I've continued to bring, that God has chosen not to answer it in the way that I've been asking it, but instead to hold me all the way through it? Dare I say, brothers and sisters, that is the essence of prayer. That when we pray and when we bring personal requests before the Lord, that we realize that personal prayer is not searching for some kind of technique to get answers from God. That is not what personal prayer is all about. Personal prayer is bringing our requests at His invitation, at His enablement, experiencing relationship with Him, having God Himself, which is far more important than having our requests answered, but experiencing the fruit and the blessings of relationship with Him when in fact He does give answers to our requests and blessings to our prayers. Let's just take a moment, brothers and sisters, and bow our heads here, and we'll finish our time learning of prayer this week as we did last week. We'll close by giving you an opportunity to pray, and I just wonder in these moments ahead if we might take some time to bring our requests and our burdens to God. Let us put in practice what it means to pray. For some of you, maybe this morning, you need to ask, Lord, give me trust as I bring my request to you. Lord, give me release as I leave this request with you. Lord, thank you for bending your ear and giving attention to me as I pray. Lord, thank you most of all for help in prayer of having Christ be our standing and the Holy Spirit making appeals on our behalf. Let us just take a moment here this morning. Bring our personal requests before the Lord. Leave them at his feet. Thank him for the opportunity and the privilege of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we want to be obedient to your word that instructs us to bring everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to you, that the door to your throne room is wide open, not because of our own deeds or our own righteousness, but because of Christ. And Lord, at times when we don't even know how to pray or what to pray, we have the help of the Holy Spirit with us, praying on our behalf. Lord, what a great privilege this morning. I ask that if there be anyone here that doesn't know the joy of sins forgiven, to know the joy of relationship restored with you, Lord, that they might understand that today they might have that through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, that they might be crying out in a prayer for the very first time to you today, that your ear would be bent towards them, listening to their cry for mercy, their cry for forgiveness and salvation through Christ. Lord, for the rest of us, might we just bring our requests to you and leave them at your feet. Help us as we learn, as we stumble along, but as we practice bringing our prayers to you. Lord, might we do it rightly. Might we do it full of faith. Might we do it with dependence and joy and thanksgiving to you in all things. And it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.